And I know that you maybe have not heard about this.
No.
But I have been hurt in churches by pastors and by leaders. And how many of you have been hurt by pastors and leaders? We have been disappointed by pastors and leaders. And it happens. And you know, when you receive the hurt that comes from a pastor or a leader, that is a very deep hurt. At least with me, it has been a very deep hurt. It hurts more than any emotional hurt or physical hurt. And this is because soul ties are established with pastors and leaders. And as we know, soul ties could be godly soul ties. We could have a godly soul tie with a pastor, and we could have an evil soul tie with a pastor also. Now, I feel free to talk about this because now I'm a pastor. I couldn't talk about this before, but now I'm a pastor. So I'm talking about, I'm including myself in that, okay? Because of the spiritual standing that pastors have over their flock, they could bless us or they could curse us. And pastors can send also demons to their flocks. That happened to me. So when I say things like that, it's because I have experienced them. I'm not making anything up. Pastors can send demons to their flocks by what they teach. If they teach a lie, you believe a lie, and a stronghold is formed. What they say, by what they say, by what they counsel, wrong counsel can send demons to people, and also by the demons that the pastors have. Now, pastors are the main target of Satan. If Satan wants to destroy a church, all he has to do is destroy the pastor first. Now, Satan doesn't attack pastors with obvious things. I mean, he doesn't send a bomb to his house or anything like that. That's not the way that Satan has to work. He works in more dangerous ways and more subtle ways. As it's in Genesis, the serpent was in the garden, and the serpent was more subtle of any animal, the serpent. Satan is very subtle. And the attacks on the pastor are through the temptations, the same temptations that Jesus had when he was the 40 days in the desert, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust of the eyes is greed. The lust of the flesh is sexual lust. And the pride of life is just that, pride and arrogance. Being arrogant and proud is the third area. Now, this is when a pastor starts saying, "Touch not my anointed." How many times have you heard that? Have you heard it? That is the cover-up, "Touch not my anointed." I mean, don't look more or deeper than the surface thing that I'm presenting to you. Don't come and try to find out what's behind this passé, etc. Yeah. So Balaam is the first example of a man of God corrupted by greed. As you know, Balaam was a prophet of God, and he was contemporary of Moses. And Balaam heard God just like Moses did. Balaam held conversations with God. So he was a prophet of God. But he was corrupt. Now, if you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were going by a kingdom, and the king of the Moabites was Barak. And he was afraid that the children of Israel were going to take over his kingdom, so he sent some of his princes to Balaam with money to come and curse the children. And Balaam talked to God and asked him about it because he was tempted with all this money. And God told him not to go. And so he told them no. So these princes went back to the king. And the king then sent more important princes and more money. So he was going there with the lust of the eye and the pride of life, because he sent more important people. And then Balaam asked God again. Well, God had already said no, but Balaam now wanted to convince God because he wanted all that money and whatever was that they, not just money, they were bringing other things. So anyway, God got angry, and you know what happened with the donkey and all that, and he finally could not curse the children of Israel. And if you want to read the whole thing, it's Numbers 22, 23, and 24, three chapters. But you can see that this Balaam was being tremendously tempted, and he did want to grab all that and deliver the goods that the king was asking him to deliver, except that God didn't let them. There are other spiritual leaders in the Old Testament that were corrupted. Now, things have not changed with the human race since we were created. We are the same kind of people. We might dress differently, and instead of riding horses, we're driving cars or whatever, but we have not changed. We have the same temptations, the same sins. So if we look in the Old Testament how God has dealt with spiritual leaders, that means that the same thing is happening today. And we know it's happening today. But Ezekiel 34, 1 to 10. Ezekiel 34, 1 to 10 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. And where's the fat and the wool coming from? From the sheep. You kill them that are fed, but you don't feed the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." We're talking about shepherds. "And they were scattered," the sheep, the flock was scattered, "because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." Now, what do you think the beasts of the field are? That they became meat. They were the demons. Because the shepherds did not take care of the sheep. They became meat to the demons. "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yeah, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding. That's where it stopped here. So, from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. So, if God is against the shepherds, then do this. This thing of touch not my anointed, will it work? It won't work, because God is against it. Now, Isaiah 56, 9 to 12. And Isaiah 56, 9 to 12 says, all ye beasts of the field come to devour, yeah, all ye beasts in the forest. Talking about demons again. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Now, the watchman of a flock, it's watching against the animals that were coming to eat the sheep. And they had dogs also. Shepherds, that's where German shepherds came from. So they have dogs to warn when there's an animal prowling around. They would bark, and they would wake up the shepherd if he was sleeping. So it says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Jeremiah 2:8 says, the priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. So the prophets prophesied by Baal. And this is when pastors allowed Jezebel to come into the church, and false prophets prophesying, as long as they keep the people happy and they say nice things, it's okay. If they don't tell them, if they tell them, if they would dare to tell them, you are sinning and if you don't change your ways, you're going to go to hell. If they dare say that, the pastor won't let them talk anymore. Okay, that's Jeremiah 5:27-31. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Who? They are waxen fat, they shine. Yeah, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? So he's saying here that the people like what they're seeing and what they're hearing because they are not telling them. Your sins, they're not bringing up what their problems are with their troubles. Because when they come and have troubles, the pastor instead of saying, let's find what sin do you have to repent of so the Lord will forgive you? No. They just might get a bottle of oil and throw it over them, you know, all over them, and say, it's okay. You have been, yeah, you're okay now. The Lord, yeah, the Lord healed you. The Lord, you know, is going to prosper you. Everything is okay. Peace, peace. Jeremiah 6:13-19. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's the way that churches like to minister. They don't want to really get to the real problem, the real spiritual problem. They don't want to get in a fight with demons. And they're actually afraid of Satan. They don't want to disturb Satan because they think that their church is going to disintegrate if Satan comes against them. They're afraid of Satan when they should be afraid of God. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. They're only ashamed when they're caught. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls.
But where is it?
Jeremiah 6:13-19.
Okay.
And ask for the old path. Where is... Okay, thus says the Lord. He's telling the shepherds. See and ask for the old path. You know, come back to your first love. Where is the good way? And walk there. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. No, we don't want to do that. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of a trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. I don't want to hear what you're coming to tell me. I have done that. I have gone to pastors and told them something, and they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Jeremiah 10:19-22 now. Jeremiah 10:19-22. And this is the Lord speaking. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors have become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate, and a den of dragons, a den of demons. Jeremiah 12:10-13. Jeremiah 12:10-13. 10-13. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. And what are the spoilers? For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:1-5. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, says the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And the last is Jeremiah 50:6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. So do you think, hearing this, that God is blind and that God is deaf and that God doesn't know what's going on in the churches when you have these pastors? He knows everything that goes on. And
the level, Jeremiah
56.
Oh, 56.
Yeah. Now, I found out that pastors and other leaders are tempted through a demon called pastoral madness. Now, let me tell you that I have had several encounters with pastors back in 78, 79. I was a 1 year old baby in Christ, and I started going to a church, and there was a pastor there that, when he saw that I had some money, he got very excited. What happened was that they needed a tape duplicator for the church, and they announced it from the pulpit. So I gave the money for the tape duplicator, and he was impressed with that because the church was just starting. That church had just had a split, and this new pastor had come to the church. Well, then I wanted to buy a small microphone for the pastor, and I took him to the electronics store so he could buy the cord and everything that he wanted. And while we were there, he saw a very small TV. That was back in 78. So it was a small, I think it was a color TV, but it was a miniature. And he immediately started saying, oh, you know, I always wanted to have a TV like this, blah, blah. And he just, and I, you know what I said? I said, I thought you passed, and really, I was not being facetious or anything. I was just saying, I said, I thought you pastors were always reading the Bible, didn't have time to watch TV. And he didn't like that, but in the time that I was there, he wanted a gold ring. He told me he had a silver ring, and he told me, oh, I love this silver ring, and you know, there's this man that told me that he could do it in gold, and it's only, and then he quoted the price and all that. It looks like he wanted me to give him the money for that. The first thing he asked for was a fur coat for the wife. And it really, what he wanted was a rabbit coat, but he said a fur coat, and I, you know, to me a fur coat is a $3,000 coat. And I didn't have a fur coat. So, of course, I didn't. I mean, he wanted a purebred dog. Yes, he told me where it was. He wanted it for his daughter. And at that time, at my home, we had SPCA dogs. So he was asking things that were above my station. And I just found it very strange, but I really didn't realize what was going on. So finally, he asked me for a go-kart for the son. I'm saying he asked me, he didn't ask me. He would put it in front of me. He put the petition in front of me, like I was the Virgin Mary or something. So he would go, oh, you know, honey, I saw this go-kart, and you know, it's in such and such place, and this guy named Bob told me it would be only so much and so forth and all that. And I said, your kid would be as happy with a Tonka truck. Well, that was the end of it. And he went and he told the elder. And this is what he told the elder. Apparently, because of what the elder came to talk to me. He told the elder that I was after his body. And the elder caught me at the end of the service. And he told me to come up front. And I didn't have any idea what he wanted to talk about. And he started telling me that he was there to defend the pastor and to defend his marriage, and that he understood that I had problems with my husband, which I didn't. And I mean, I started listening to that and I was going, what is this? You know, is this a fiction, book of fiction or what? You know, because I was listening to this story that was not true. And I just told the pastor that, I told the elder that there was something wrong with the pastor. And he got mad at me and he told me we were not there to dissect the pastor. Anyway, I told him to stop talking about my husband. Don't get my husband in this conversation. And anyway, I just went home. And I was so bewildered. It was the word. I was, you know, completely confused and bewildered, and I couldn't sleep. And I was afraid that my husband would see, if he would wake up and see that I was not sleeping, he would ask me what was wrong. And I didn't want to tell him. I didn't want to tell him what had happened. Not because of what the man had said, but because I didn't want him to think ugly of a Christian church. And I asked the Lord to please put me to sleep, and the Lord put me to sleep, and it was a supernatural sleep. I felt like I was floating like in clouds. I don't know, it's a very strange thing, but in the morning when I woke up, I was so refreshed that naturally, when I sleep naturally, I don't get up like that. But when I got up, my mind was clear, and I was really energetic that morning after that sleep that the Lord gave me. Looking back, these two, both the pastor and the elder became the pastor of a church. He kicked out the pastor. The pastor said he was going to go as an evangelist. That was back in 79. So it has been more than 20 years. The pastor was a young man at that time, and he never prospered. Never prospered. And the church that the elder took appeared to prosper for a while, but then it just went down. And that church, it has a big building, but it's empty. It's empty. And for some reason, it is. That was one story. Now, the second story where I found about pastoral madness, I was in a church where strange things started to happen. And one of the ladies of the church found out about a situation of a couple that was pretending to be married, but they were not married. The man was married to another woman. And when this lady went, told the pastor told her she was a gossip and shut up, because the man had some leadership in the church. Then another...
Just cover that.
He didn't want her, and no, and he told her that she was a gossip. And the next thing that happened, and I wanted to leave the church, and the Lord was not letting me. In fact, I didn't want to go to that church in the first place, and the Lord sent me there. The pastor told me, you're going to teach, if you want to teach deliverance in my church, you have to be a member of my church. So I became a member of a church, and then he didn't let me teach deliverance. Then the other thing that happened was that there was a guy that came in and got one of the girls of a church pregnant, and he didn't want to marry her. And the whole thing was right there in the church. The girl coming in with her big belly, everybody knew, even the children knew. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And finally, I was asking the Lord, let me go. I don't want to be here. No. What happened was that one good day in my home, the face of the pastor appeared in my mind. And I didn't like the guy. So, because of what he was doing. And I started rebuking it, and it kept appearing in my mind. So I went to a friend, and I asked the friend for deliverance. And this demon manifested in me, big demon, talking. And she asked, what was your name? What is your name? And the demon didn't want to say the name. And we never found out the name of the demon that was in me. But my friend said, where did you come from? And the demon said, from her pastor. And then she said, who is your boss? Telling the demon, who is your boss? And the demon said, pastoral madness. Well, she cast the demon out, but then that's what the Lord wanted me to find out. Because as soon as that happened, the Lord said, now you can go. So that's how I found out about pastoral madness. Now, I understand after I left, there was a big scandal in that church. Because I had asked the pastor before. He had told me he wanted to build a building in the land that he had. And I said, I can do a drawing for you. Because he said he didn't know how big the building could be. I said, I can do a drawing for you. If you give me the plat of your building and the lot, where do I get that? I said, well, it's attached to your deed. It's attached to the deed of the land. And it shows me the setbacks and the easements, and I know how much land is there to be built on, so I can tell you what size building you can put there. And he looked at me with a strange look in his face, and I thought that he was thinking that I wanted to steal his deed. That's what I thought because of the look again. He never gave me the drawing. He never gave me that. But after I left, I found out that he stole the deed from the people who owned the land. So, pastoral madness was there. This is what pastoral madness does to pastors.
And then we don't want to say nothing.
Well, that's, touch not my anointed.
Yeah.
But that's, touch them. Go ahead and touch them. The Lord is not going to do anything to you. They're not his anointed.
But if they're not doing right.
They're not doing right, the Lord is mad at them. So, okay, this is the way that pastoral madness works. Pastoral madness is a deceiving demon. It's a deceiving demon. And they tell the pastors or leaders that they are very important people. They're very important. That they can be over the flock like a king. They can lord it over them. Have you ever heard pastors say that sheep are dumb? Yeah. See, that's when pastoral madness starts coming in. Yeah. Pastoral madness is coming in. Second, they this demon tells pastors that they are special to God and that they have a right to a place with God where God allows them to do things that other people are not allowed to do. And that they're God's favorite, and this is a secret between God and them, this, the things that they do. That God knows what they're doing, but the other people can't know what they're doing because it's a secret between God and them, and so, and God allows them to do them because they're favorite. They're special. They're very important to God. And I'm discovering here pastoral madness. It's what pastoral madness works like. That they deserve to be more prosperous and that the flock needs to give them more money for a bigger and better building first. First, the more money is for a bigger and better building. They want to have a prettier church than the other pastor down the street.
I was watching that this morning. Just before I was watching, this guy broke me. The Lord showed me a vision.
Yeah, greed. Then they want a bigger car, a better car. And they start announcing it from the pulpit so that somebody in the flock will buy the car. Then they want jewelry and designer suits. And then they think that they deserve the church's money for their own needs. And so they start announcing from the pulpit what they want in terms of luxury, so that the people of the church start buying it for them. Like, that guy kept asking me for things. That they deserve to have a younger and sexier woman, whether it is married to the first wife or divorcing the first wife, it doesn't matter. So they either divorce their wives or kill them. What makes it kill them? There's a pastor in Dallas that about 10 years ago, who was a Methodist pastor, right? He attempted to kill the wife, and at that time the cell phones were coming out, and so he did a little trick to establish his alibi. It was calling home and saying, honey, it's 9:25 now, but I'm here and there. So he was playing with the times of the day, leaving recordings that they were not right, but after he had attempted on the wife. And the thing is that he was leaving the recording on the telephone line that they had for the church, not on the private line. And what he didn't know was that the cell phone company keeps the record of every call, the time, and everything, all those details. So when the police verified the records, they found out that the phone calls where he was saying it was this time, it was not that time. But there was not enough evidence to convict the man. And the poor woman, he attempted to kill her, and she is a vegetable. She didn't die, but she's a vegetable. Well, there was another woman that he wanted to marry. He was having an affair. Now, recently, there's this Jewish rabbi that hired a man to kill the wife because he was having another. So this man don't want to divorce because it wouldn't look good divorcing. So what do? They kill the wife. So they don't divorce.
And knowing it, it's worse.
But they think they can get away with it. Why? Because pastoral madness.
Didn't the first incident, didn't he take over a smaller church in the country?
He went to California and started working for another church. And I was wondering, how did this other church hire him, for heaven's sakes? Well, I can't remember what else has happened to him. But I kept clipping. Oh, I have all the newspapers clippings, and a book came out also with all the details of that. So so this is a problem. Okay, how about Jimmy Swaggart? That's a case of pastoral madness. And you know that he repented, he was crying on TV and all that, and then he did it again. I know.
A cult, and I said, Lord, you deal with him.
Yeah.
And you know, after that, sister, it was exposed.
Exposed, that, exactly.
The Lord did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, see, when I was at Wingworth's church, he had written something in his the magazine that he put against Wingworthy.
Oh.
And against, yeah, and against his ministry. And Wingworthy said, right there, I heard him myself saying, that Jimmy Swaggart had come against his ministry of deliverance and that something bad was going to happen to him for coming against his ministry. Okay. How about Jim Baker? Pastoral madness. I have here, this came yesterday in the internet about Jim Baker, says, a 16-year-old class action lawsuit against Praise the Lord founder Jim Baker has netted $6.5 million payments for each of the 165 persons who sued him. According to the North Carolina paper, their lawyers will get $2.5 million. The people who sued gave $1,000 each for 4-day vacation stays at PTL, the resort that was never built. An order issued last month by a judge gives a California claims administrator a month to issue the checks. Money for the settlement fund was placed there by former PTL accountants, the newspaper reported. The mother-in-law, her name is Char Graham, who is now the business manager, said Baker had no comment on the matter because he doesn't have all the facts of it. He hasn't been included in any of that. Baker resigned from PTL in 1987 after admitting he had committed adultery. And the girl's name was Jessica Hahn. In 1989, he was convicted of bilking $158 million in the sale of more than 150,000 lifetime partnerships to the Heritage USA theme park. Baker's 45-year sentence was reduced to 18 years, and he served 5 years before his parole in 95. While in prison, his former wife, Tammy Faye, divorced him and married a friend of his. Baker is now back on the air with the Jim Baker Show, taped daily at the Studio City Cafe in Branson, Missouri. The restaurant where they are taping the show is owned by a Baker fan and businessman. He's a businessman and a fan of Baker, by the name of Jerry Crawford, who also is providing a home for Baker and his wife, Lori Graham Baker. And I already saw another notice in the paper where Baker said that his new program on TV, well, people will have to send him money to keep the program on the air. And so he's back to the same thing, looks like.
Don't you think that there is pastors' wives also?
That also do that? Of course. Of course they go crazy too. Now, if you remember Evangelistic Temple,
yeah.
The same thing happened to that pastor.
Yeah.
Corruption on greed. And he also had an affair with the secretary. Okay, and I have been in churches where it's not, you know, the greed is there, but there's also the occult. The occult. The compromise with the occult, because they want the church to be big. So they won't teach the people against the occult. And they themselves are involved in the occult.
That's why I get out of a lot of churches because, you know, we are not in religion anymore. Like Catholic people, you know, they go through all of that, the Virgin and Jesus and all that. And Christmas and all that, uh-huh. and I don't.
Yeah.
So I don't, that's why I don't become a member.
Yeah.
You know, because the customs of the religion that I was given for, I don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm out. I'm free. Yeah. Jesus has been free. And I only serve the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why do you
God? Yeah.
What do you think, Mr. Petty?
I think you're right. That's what's happening.
When I tell the people I become their enemy, that's all right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We have to tell the truth.
Well, let's see these two last scriptures that are from the New Testament. They are talk about the same thing.